This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samuel Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
What will I do with time? What will I do with time? Sometimes you ask people to do something and they jump right at it and they realize that because they didn't plan properly, they couldn't deliver. And Jesus Christ told us that we should count the cost. He said, it is not wise for a man to carry soldiers, to take soldiers into battle without adequate preparation. In history, there was a particular king in Israel who led his army into battle without thinking of how the army will feed and how they will have drinks. By the time they would get to the enemy's camp, most of the soldiers were dehydrated, they were hungry, they had not fed in many days, they were weak. They were basically just run over by the enemy because there was lack of adequate planning. Jesus also said, it is not wise to build a house without adequate planning. What resources is coming in? How much am I dedicating to this building project? What is my time projection? Giving some room for adjustments and finish the work. I remember I once employed a man who studied at one of the very prestigious polytechnics, not Laspotec, there's another one in Lagos that's quite popular. And this man came to me himself to say, sir, pray for me. I said, oh, what is the problem? He said, my life is in disarray. I said, why? He said, I'm a qualified engineer, a civil engineer. And I was responsible for building the Silver Bird building. The main supervisor of it. I was recruited out of the university, out of the Polytechnic, Yabatech. I went to Yabatech. I was recruited out of Yabatech to supervise the project for the Silver Bird building. And when the building was done, they saw how good my job was, and they offered me the job of facility manager with an official car and a driver. And a good salary. Said to my family, several generations, nobody had ever been this blessed. But then I made the mistake of going home to my mother to share the good news with her. And my mother, being an illiterate, was concerned. She said, children who come into money, into big money early, usually die young. So my mother went to the Afar, to the Muslim clerics, to pray. And they were the ones that told her before that my destiny was to work with buildings, to be a bricklayer. And because of that, I studied civil engineering. And so they told her again that, oh, That is not the kind of bricklaying he was supposed to do. He was supposed to do bricklaying where he would be carrying the cement himself, carrying the, he would be building, not sitting down in an office and giving instructions. Now, of course, you know that when educated people take their matters to illiterates, the illiterates can't process how the educated do things. And so they will bring it down to their own simplistic system. And as a result of that, he resigned from Silverbed. And he became somebody who goes from site to site to build. Now, let me tell you, this man is good. He still works for me. But this man, as good as he was, he had one shortcoming. He does not understand money. He's basically living from hands to mouth, not because he doesn't get jobs, not because he's not good, but because he did not understand money. You know, when you have an artisan and you tell him that, oh, build this thing for me, you have called five engineers and all of them told you the project will cost 20 million. This man can come and tell you he will finish it for 7 million. And then you give him 7 million, he will buy materials, and then he will get stuck. The budget he gave you will never be enough to do the job. Now, he did it with me the first time. I was really angry with him. Later, I went back and realized, oh, this guy did not understand money. He would underbill. Would underbill. He would bill in a ridiculous way. He will not even think of how he would make profit or feed his whole family. When they are selling sand for a certain amount per ton, he would give you less than the general market price. He will give you cement for less price. He will give everything for less price. At the end of the day, he will give you a budget that you, if you are not, you would then think that he was trying to defraud you, because at the end of the day, the job will get halfway and then materials will be done. And then he'll begin to beat his hand. He will say, the material, I don't know what happened. The material finished. So the first time he worked for me, I had no experience. So at that time, I was really angry with him. But I saw the quality of the work he did. And I was like, oh, this guy is a very good hand. And then I instructed somebody else to employ him and give him a job. And then he repeated the same thing. As I speak now, he's speaking on that, working on that project, and he's repeating the same thing as I speak now. Every time I will be the one to tell the person working with him that this man underbills, he doesn't understand money. So if he tells something is 10 naira, go to the market, you'll see that the thing is actually 15 naira. You see that the thing is 15 naira. So I don't want you to abuse his honesty. If you send a man on an errand, he will tell you, give me transport money. He will collect 2,000 naira transport money. And then he will say, give me anything you feel like giving as my fee. So I would say, don't cheat this man. Don't take advantage of him, because he does not understand money. Now, this man is not getting any younger. He had come for prayer, has been prayed for. But can you see that because there is no wisdom, it is not likely that he's going to make much of his own life personally. He has a reputation that I know is good. He knows the job, he's diligent, he's honest, but he's not honest in a wise way. He's honest but unwise. And time is going year by year. So I look at him, I always make sure I recommend him for jobs. And every time I recommend him for a job, he will come out of the job with a loss. Why? Because I would sit him down, tell him, hey, Hey, you're not getting any younger. This is how business is done. It will not. This is how much this is. This one is what I'm here. This is how much. Put all the things you want to buy, go to the market, price them, put them on a list, and then charge. Let the person then negotiate with you what they will pay you, but make sure you come out of this, and then it will repeat the same process again. It would underbill, then you will get out of that job with the customer. If the customer is honest, the customer will realize that, oh, you're underbilled and whatever. If the customer is not a very smart person, the customer will feel he cheated him. Customer will be like, how can you gave me an estimate. I paid you, and now you cannot deliver the job, you see? So the customer will insist that it was his fault because he couldn't deliver the job. Especially for customers that likes what they call freebies. But for those who really want correct jobs, I'll tell them, hey, he's going to underbill. This is his modus operandi. He will do a good job, but he will underbill. And at the end of the day, you guys will get into trouble. So if it costs something 10 hours for you get a second opinion, get a third opinion, because at the end of the day, this project will not be done. Now, why did I share that? You must deal with time with wisdom. Wisdom is essential in dealing with time. Wisdom. That's why the Bible says there is a time for everything. There is a time to study. There is a time to work. There's also a time to retire. There is a time to raise children, send them to school, get them on their feet. There is also a time to lift up your two hands and say, thank you, Jesus. My last child has graduated, right? Now it's just me and my wife, or my last child has gotten a job, or my last child has gotten married. The nest is empty. It's just me and my wife. It is not that time when it is just you and your wife that you now start paying rent, running for, you get into your 60s, you have no house, you have no security, financial security of any kind. You are still running a skater, still going to churches to pray, Father bless me, at 60, at 60. No. It shows that the person did not spend time with wisdom, did not spend time wisely. Of course, I know that there are some people, life happened and they lost everything. Those are not the ones I'm addressing yet. I'll address those ones. I'm addressing everyone here, and I'm saying to you, have a plan. Wisdom demands a plan. Wisdom demands foresight. The ability to sit down, like this month of January was practically everything I did was based on that. To sit down to strategize. How do I want to go about certain things? Do I want to continue with my modus operandi? Do I want to evolve? Okay, if I'm going to evolve, how do I proceed? Am I supposed to proceed like on my Twitter feed? Am I supposed to go there and be preaching normal, or do I go there and be a disruptive force? Do I go there and challenge certain thinking? Do I look at the number of people that are checking, that are reading my outputs? What is their age? I was deliberately targeting people in their 20s. Idealistic, young, just out of the university, with a lot of woke ideologies in their head. I was challenging the wokeness, so it was very deliberate and strategic for me how I write and how I position my thinking. And so on the surface, somebody will look at it and say, oh, we're having guys bashing. No. I'm very deliberate. I had my target. I had my targets. I wanted to reverse certain order. I wanted to reverse certain thinking patterns. I wanted to challenge, to force, to break certain patterns. And I wanted to do them brazenly. I was going to use the sledgehammer to start anything. At the end of the day, it will cause a ripple effect. And I can tell you, practically every day, maybe 20, 30, 40, 50 people will be in my DM telling me about what I read. I couldn't comment to be open, but please help me. How do I do my life? Help me. How do I do my life? Oh, but I've been got this thing you said. I've been thinking of it. Of course, in the public, they may not be able to, but that's what I want. Mine will come to me. I'm not all out to get the whole world. My fruits and the fruit of my harvest work, they will hear my voice and they will run to me. It is what it is. But there has to be a strategy. There has to be a plan. There has to be a deliberateness about how we do things. We can't to deliberately engage people from North America, from Canada, from Australia. Their posts, I ignore most of Nigerian posts because again, I have a target. I want to target people that are out there. Again, strategy, again, thinking, again, foresight. What do you want? When you dwell in the secret place of the Almighty, when you dwell inside, when you dwell in, the essence is not just for safety. It is also for strategic session, for strategic planning. You are far away from the maddening crowd, but you have to engage the maddening crowd. How do you engage them effectively? So that at the end of the day, you are the owner of your own narrative. You own your narrative, you own it by the jugular. Nobody will come. Your thinking must be so precise, so deliberate, so accurate that when people come to challenge it, they will have no foothold. But that's a product of thinking. That's a product of strategic planning. Get some people on the issue of marriage. Told them, oh, marriage is man-made. And of course, the religious mindset is not there. No, God is in marriage. And then they say, okay, bring your facts. And then nobody could. They were alluding to many things. At the end of the day, they were trying to change the narrative. I said, no. Don't change the narrative. I didn't say God is not involved in marriage. I said God does not appoint anybody to marry anybody. That is my statement. So all the arguments on that, it is still on social media. You will see that everybody, nobody could prove that statement wrong because it will be a deliberate thing to think through before I open my mouth and begin to speak. And it has a result of strategy. You have to be strategic. You have to think of it. This is my business. How do I want to pursue my business this year? How do I want to brand? How do I want to profile? Who am I targeting? What's my target audience? How do I reach them? Am I going to be defensive? Am I going to be confrontational? Am I going to be persuasive? Am I going to go with pictures and flamboyance? Am I going to go with sound and the music? What is the appeal that I'm driving with? You must have all these things drawn out to a T. Don't be somebody who is going on a 5,000 meters run and then starts out racing like a hare, like a rabbit. And then you lose steam before you get to 1,000 meters. A strategic planner would know that the race is a long distance one, and therefore the approach has to be slow and steady. Slow and steady. This is not a 100 meters dash. This is a long haul thing. So the strategy has to come because we've considered the whole and not just the beginning. A lot of people begins a thing and then they get stuck. They can neither move forward nor backward. Some people are supposed to move backward. When you notice that you've entered into a place where you're stuck and you're supposed to go backward, never be so proud as not to redeem time. I'm now talking on the second topic under it, which is redeeming time. The first one was managing time with wisdom, second one, redeeming time. Now, a lot of people would like to pray for time redemption. And that is good. We pray for it. We see it in the scriptures. We apply it. I enjoyed 8 years God basically redeemed 8 years for me in this lifetime. 8 years. I mean, the reversal was till today one of the greatest miracles of all time for me. I was 8 years behind my peers because of life. And now, everyone that I could call, oh, my peer, I can stand shoulder to shoulder with them anywhere, if not far above their shoulder. But that is on God. So I can tell you that redemption of time is supernatural, but redemption of time is also dependent on the person whose time is being redeemed. There was a story, all of us know the story, of a king in Israel, King Hezekiah, that God gave 15 extra years. Do you know that those 15 years were wasted? I mean, the guy had done a good job. God said, oh, you've done well. Pack your bag. It's time to die. Then he leveraged on his past mark to talk to God to say, come on, only the living can praise you. I've done well. Why would you take my life like this? Only the living can praise you. Spare my life. The Bible recorded that God spared his life only for him to begin to misbehave. Misbehaving in such a recalcitrant way that Isaiah came to him one day and Isaiah said, ah, Hezekiah, who are those people that I saw you walking about Israel, the palace with? He said, oh, those are the ambassadors of the king of Babylon, the king of Assyria, the king of Babylon. They came to visit me, so I'm conducting a tour guide. I'm taking them around all our beautiful edifices. And Isaiah said, ah, are you not smart? These people came so that they could see how wealthy you are, so that they can then bring their soldiers to plunder your wealth. And you opened the door to them, you made them see, basically inviting them in to come and bring war. You know these people that when they said they are sending ambassadors, usually in those days, when people come to visit your city, they are looking for what to steal. So when they come, they will look around, they will look around, they will then go back to their king and say, ah, they have this, they have that, the palace is gold. Ah, they have seven lions at the throne of Solomon. They have the Solomon porch where there is this. Ah, they are rich. And then the king will say, wow, now get your soldiers ready. We are going to plunder them. So it was a strategy that was known to everybody. And yet, they came to visit and you open your doors. There are some of us here. We have friends who we know are telltales. And yet, we can't resist talking to them. You know, those guys that will call you. And then they'll be using style to investigate and draw information from you. And you know that that's what the person is doing. So I understand that sometimes you don't know the person is doing that, and they are just talking freely. And then the person then, what you said, then comes back to you, and then they say, oh, it was, they heard this from this person. You are not like, oh, I'm the one that spoke to the person. And then what I told you, I heard it everywhere, right? All right. What should you do next time? One of two things. Either you don't talk to the person again, or you begin to give the person misinformation. If you are going to the left, you tell the person you are going to the right. That is how you reverse engineer telltales. You are going forward, you tell the person you are going backward. When you want to go to London, you tell the person you are going to Abuja. When you are in Abuja, you tell the person you are in Italy. You know that whatever you tell the person is going to spread it, and people will then brand the person a liar. And that's how you kill that thing. It is a wisdom strategy that I employ so well. So very well. Once I know you are a telltale, just know you are going, it's going to boomerang badly. And I'm going to sit down and will laugh. Because you have to be smart. But there are some people, oh, I was talking with my wife, and she was telling me about a particular lady who was over talking. Most of the things she was saying, she couldn't do them. But she was a wife to somebody, and she was talking to a friend. And she said a lot of things, didn't know that the friend was recording it. And then the friend went and played it to her husband, and now she lost her home. And anybody can say, oh, that's a bad friend. Oh, that's a... But you know that the easiest way for you, for any one of us to lose standing in life is by opening your mouth. The Bible says so in the book of James. James chapter 3. He said, a man who cannot be caught, who cannot be trapped, who cannot stumble in words, he said, that's a perfect man. A man whose words you cannot twist or turn or use to entrap him, he said, that's a perfect man. So the wise thing would have been to keep quiet or to tell the person things that tells by the moonlight, not to even assert that you are going to, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and all the things you are saying you are going to do are harmful. And so everybody around began to adjust that, hey, she wants to do this. Oh, most of the things she said, I can guarantee she didn't mean them. But then our words are like eggs. When they drop, you can pick it, you can't come back wholesome. Strategic. It is important that when you hold a vision, you don't allow people who do not have anything to do but sabotage that vision, lure you away from your path. I shared with us before, the lady reached out to me. She was working with the federal government. She had the retirement plan. She and her husband, they saved towards the future. She wanted to open a pharmacy in Abuja, and she had her budget. She had already saved. She saved 50 million naira. And she was still working, but she had saved 50 million naira. The money was safe. And then she opened her mouth and told a friend, not her best friend, not somebody that was dying, not somebody, you don't even have to tell anybody anything. That's the truth. But then she opened her mouth and told her best friend, I have a retirement plan. I'm going somewhere. I will not allow this government to finish me. I've been saving diligently, myself and my husband. We are going to open a pharmacy. We are going to stock it. We are going to do this. Saying those things is an accomplishment that she did, and she should shout it. But she shouted it to the wrong person. And then this person came back the next day, and the person began to beg her, please borrow me that for savings. I want to go to America. I will work, I will send it back to you. I'm sorry, bro. I'm a child of God, though. Don't doubt my salvation. I will never give you anything if you come to me crying for that. Nobody can take away my future. The Bible says that there are 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. When the foolish virgin came to the wise virgins and they said, borrow us your oil. It is written in the Bible, like written like this. Like even children church, we use it a lot to teach in children church. That the wise virgins told the foolish virgins that so that you will not shorten my ration, I cannot give you my oil. That was why they called them wise. They were wise for two reasons. One, they were able to plan ahead so that they had extra oil. Two, they did not allow sentiments to take away their oil. You can come and use cry, cry. You want to cry for 2 minutes and collect something that I've saved for 20 years? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not going to give you. Not under this heaven. I will not do it. That's the truth. It is not a question of, oh, but I mean, God, you are a father in the Lord. You have got me God. God is the father of everybody. What I can do is pray with you. Doesn't mean I'm not benevolent. Doesn't mean I'm not kind. Doesn't mean I will not support financially, but I will not give you my life savings. I will not give you my life savings. But this woman gave her life savings. Then the friend used the life savings to travel to America. And the friend was already in her 50s. Traveling to America for the first time, promising you that she's going to get to America, get a job, quickly work and send you the money. Where is that done? In which country will you raise 50 million in how many weeks? So, of course, the friend got to America and things didn't turn out the way she planned. So the friend got stuck there. She couldn't come back home. And then they retired this woman and she had nothing to fall back on. Now, a bed in hand, the bed she had in hand is gone. And she now became a matter of prayer. So you go from pastor to pastor to pastor, and then you begin to tell them, pray for me. I have a friend that is owing me this money. Please let her pay. Someone that doesn't have a job over there. Where will she pay? Where will she get the money? It would have been wiser for you to open your pharmacy, start making money and be giving your friend out of it. It would have been wiser. But she wasn't a wise woman. So again, what will I do with time? Because God can redeem the time for you. You can squander the time. God can give you the opportunity of a lifetime so that you get ahead of time. Getting ahead of time, I'm going to the third point now, getting ahead of time is God gives you a foresight that nobody can see, and God then gives you the finances for it. Wow. So you see an opportunity. Many people see opportunities, they do not have the money to arrest it or to execute it. But here you are, God gives an opportunity. I'll give you an example. I have somebody that is close to the family, was a teacher. Then one day, he and his friends, they went somewhere. When they got there, an act of kindness, they met a man from the north, they talked. And then the man said, "Oh, I need some money." He didn't think twice, just gave the man, not big money, just transport money. Then the man turned to him and the man said, "I'm just coming from Dunlop Tires. They gave me this voucher. My uncle gave me this voucher, said I should become a distributor of Dunlop Tires in the north. But that's not what I want to do in my life. I want to travel. I want to travel abroad. I want to go to Spain. And then they are giving me this voucher. They're giving me a voucher to compensate me. I don't want it. Are you interested?" Now, this one was a teacher. What would the teacher do with the voucher that would make him a distributor of tires? But he collected it. He had no idea what it meant. Then the next day, he went to Dunlop Tires and he greeted them and he showed them the voucher. And they said, "Oh, are you the owner?" I said, "Yes." "How did you come in possession of it?" "Oh, so and so gave it to me." He said, "Okay. So you'll be a distributor. And then we'll be giving you this number of tires. You'll be selling it's brand new. So you have to market it to companies, most people like." And that not only did he get the opportunity, he had the he did he left teaching immediately, sat on this business, and within a short time, it was a success. He became a resounding success as a man. Do you know that there are people that wouldn't take that voucher? And you offer it to them, they'll be like, "No, I'm a teacher. Oh, they don't know about tires." And then they will leave it. Now, there are some of us in this year as we are thinking opportunities are coming. When the opportunities come, it gives you the ability to get ahead of the curve. You will have bought into things that people didn't even know. Then when everybody begins to rush it, the value of that thing will just increase. And then it makes you wealthy. Those opportunities are being handed to us, but you must see them. The eyes of your understanding must be enlightened. You must understand that what makes time precious are the decisions we take at the things we do with time. I'm moving to my fourth point now. Even though time is transient, build solid realities. Build solid realities. You can literally make time stand still if you understand how to build solid realities. Jesus Christ said that a wise man that built his house on the solid rock. He said the rain came, the wind came, the storm came. He said the house was still standing. Why? Because it was built on a solid reality. He said, a foolish man, he built without an adequate plan, without foresight. He just put up a shack. As a result of that, when the rain came, the thing collapsed. Meaning that all the labor, because he didn't think it would just, he had labored, but the labor was not on anything solid. Said it was on sand. The thing just shifted and the thing collapsed. Don't make your life a litany of woes, woeful stories every day. You know, one of the things I do not respect as a person is when I see somebody who I know to be wise. But then the person begins to do things. The person allows a third party. It's like, imagine the scenario where somebody has a wise father, a girl has a father and knows my father is wise. My father is wise. My daddy is a wise man. I respect him. He has a PhD. It makes solid decisions all the time. Then the girl comes home from school to see her father. And then the stepmother whispers to the father. And then the father tells the girl, no, I'm not going to give you money. I'm not going to support you. You know, that's quite unwise. And a lot of people allow that to happen to them. Like they are wise. Yet they will allow somebody else's either emotions or whatever the person has to offer, maybe it is good sex or what you call peace of mind in quotes. They will allow that thing to then influence them from doing the right thing. They will allow it. I understand that all of us have a degree of sentiment, every one of us. Every one of us, we have a certain degree of sentiment. Solomon, as wise as he was, the Bible recorded that he also entertained sentiments. He knew that he shouldn't do certain things, but to please his wives, he did them. Also, because he was a curious man who was always searching for wisdom. He would go to his wife and he would ask the wife, what is the name of this God? What does it do in your country? How do you worship it? Have you seen it do any miracle? You know, I was in 2 days ago, somebody wrote to me and told me, but I think I see the testimonies you are sharing. We also have miracles in Islam. Oh, just that we don't share it like you Christians. When I was going to get married, I didn't have a womb. I didn't have a womb. So I was telling me, person wrote to me on Twitter based on my writings. Person wrote to me, said, I think I've been going through your timeline and I've seen all the miracles you record. But I just want to say to you, well done. God bless you. But I want to tell you something. I had a miracle and I didn't have it as a Christian. I have it as a Muslim. There's a lot of miracles in Islam too. But we don't do all this. You guys will write it on canvas, you'll not post it. So let me share my miracle with you. Said, you know, I don't have a womb. I got into some uterine exuberance I did add an abortion and my womb was removed. And so when somebody came to marry me, I told the person, you know, we are Muslims. I must tell you the truth. I don't have a womb. So just give me 3 years to enjoy you. After that, you can marry a second wife. She said, that was what she told her husband, that because I know you want children and I cannot give you children, but I love you and I want to marry you. So let me enjoy you for 3 years. Then you can take a second wife. I promise I will not make life difficult for that wife. I know why you married second wife. Just don't abandon me. Let me play a role in your life. That's all I'm asking for. She said, and the husband was like, okay. Then she said she got pregnant 3 months after she got married. She said, I just found myself pregnant. I didn't do anything. I didn't expect. I got pregnant. And I delivered a baby, Aginga. I delivered a baby. So there is also miracle in Islam. I started laughing. She said, Aginga, why are you laughing? I said, can I call? I said, okay. So I called her. Then I told her. I said, you see, every culture, every religion, every tradition, if you go to the traditional worshiper now, you tell them, ah, have you seen a miracle before? They will say yes. If you tell them to tell you miracles, traditional worshiper will tell you miracles. If you go to the Chinese, they will tell you miracles. You go to the Japanese, they will tell you miracles. Dr. Paul Yonggi Cho said in his country, he went to a place, there was a cult in his country. He went, he was about to join them before he became born again. He said when he was about to join them, when he had tuberculosis and he was about to join them so that he could live, that right in his presence, they raised the dead. Right in his presence, he said he saw somebody on a wheelchair walk. And those people are not Christians. I said, so I'm not persuaded. Don't assume that I'm somebody that when I hear miracles somewhere, I'll now peep my eyes or peep my nose. I'll say, hey, so how do they work miracles there? Let me also go and learn it so that I can add it to what I know. I'm not, that is, I'm never persuaded to think that way. Ah, she said, you're a man of faith. I said, what I believe, I believe. What I know, I know. It has nothing to do with the we are doing miracles. We do miracles, but you will not use miracle to draw me to come and be looking at Islamic stuff. Nobody will use miracle to draw me to go and look at Hare Krishna stuff. Nobody will draw use miracle to say, but I mean, God, we're also working miracle in Ish Kabir Kobi. Yeah, come and learn miracle. I'm not here for the science. I know whom I believed. I know whom I believed. I'm convinced beyond any reasonable doubt that my path is the light. Convinced, nobody can, even medical doctors can't persuade me away from what I believe. My belief system is so clear. And I'm not a binary thinker. My thinking is not black or white. I understand there are gray shades. I understand that there are several realities of life. I understand that there are several things that we do not know from where we are. But I'm not curious. I'm not a cat. I'm not curious to go find what the Lord has not handed to me. A third party cannot sit down in their house. The person is not productive, making money. The person is not doing a job. The person is not doing anything. But you are the person's means of survival. So this person contributes nothing to society, but the person goes about doing juju, doing jazz, dressing up. Just try. You are the only source. I'm talking to both our men and women now. Either you are married or unmarried, hear me with your ears open. I beg you. You cannot open the door to canker worms and palmer worms. That the blessing that God is giving unto you, imagine that That one girl now will come and be collecting my money. Who's your father? Try. I dare anybody. Try. My wife will laugh every time. My wife will say they don't know you. I'm not stingy. I'm extremely generous. But that you would sit down and indict the thing in your heart. I would so embarrass you. You would be shocked. Try. Be fine like a Medusa. Dress up. Come and ask me to come and buy land for you now. Write to me. Say, Balagbenga, I love you. Bring your billing. I will teach you. Lesson is the truth. I will not do it spiritually. I will deal with you. I will show you that condemn and die, condemn and bury him. But when I hear stories of men who are full of wisdom that I respect, that such things are happening to them, I shake my head. I'll be like, is it old age disease or is it midlife crisis? Why is this happening to somebody that I respect? Why? How would you allow anybody to take away your profit, to take away your future, to take away your peace, to take away the stability of your reputation that you built several years? Oh my God. And the person. Or the people who do this, I'm talking to male and female because it applies to them, because I know several ladies. When they tell me, I mean, I gave him this, I gave him, I'll just be looking. In my head, I'll be thinking, ha, no. I wrote a story recently. One of my sisters, when I was in Magodo, came into bad money with the one of the former presidents of Nigeria. The president was dating a friend. A friend then died in a motor accident. And she packed all the documents of all the properties the president has given this her friend. She packed them and she went to see this president to hand them over. And the president said, no, keep them. That's how she became the owner of several properties. She was working in our bookshop at Magodo Province 21. She's no longer there, but she still spoke yesterday. And when she told me that she got married to somebody, the person collected those properties as collateral for a loan. And then the person left the country and left her in debt. You have to understand how my heart felt. I was like, did I not teach in. Well, during our retreat, one of our retreats, I talked about it. I said, if the woman is the one with the money and the man does not have any money, don't say because he's my head. Come and carry your money, give to somebody who doesn't have understanding of money. It's not everybody that has understanding of money. If you give some people 10 billion, they will just squander it. So don't say God said the man should provide, and you are the woman, and then you have a lot of money, and you are saying to yourself, I don't want people to be saying that I'm the one feeding this man. So let me transfer my asset to him so that he will be managing the business. Somebody that does not have training to manage the business, does not have training to manage the fund, does not have any form of training, you are going to just give him money. You're expecting him you to look at it. Is it by husband that so is it husband automatically good money manager? Is that how it works? Is it because it's male? So is it every man you see that can manage money or that can make money? There are some people they can't. That's the truth. They cannot. And they have several opportunities. You would have seen the opportunities that this man, somebody gave him a loan of 50 million, squander it. Somebody gave him a loan of 20 million, squander it. So you in your head as the woman, you're like, hey, how am I then going to be? He has proven himself unable to manage such resources. And then you are here, you're saying, hey, but it's my head now. I want to convince him that I love him. So, but I mean, God, when Sister Kweju was talking to me and she said, so he needed a loan. So all the properties, you know, I had one four flat somewhere, you know, I had two duplexes somewhere, I had this thing. So he needed to pay school fees, he wanted to study abroad, he needed to pay about $50,000. So, and I didn't want to sell the property, so I used them to borrow money. And then he has abandoned me, and now I'm in debt. So she now is in debt. You know what she now did? She now came to me now. What do you think she wanted me to do? Me now. I should now become victim too and carry my own money and come and give it to settle there. I'm not going to do that. It is going to stop with you. Like I said earlier, I will not allow anybody to indict me into their scheme. When somebody is scheming, this brother has money. This brother has money. Let us scheme and take away. Try. Try. I'm saying to my brothers and sisters, people will try. Don't fall for it. We are benevolent people. We give. I have charities from here to Ghana to London to anywhere. But just like I was watching the Adeleke conversation a few days ago, you put charity money where charity money is. That money for charity, let it do charity. When the money finish, anybody that comes to knock, tell them wait till next round of charity. You will not take out of your principal to do charity. That's why you have a budget for charity. So why would anybody come and persuade you that they love you? And then after they persuaded you that they love you, all they expect of you now is for you to carry their responsibility. So you are the one, all the dreams that they couldn't fulfill when they are 20, when they are 30, in their productive years, you are the one now that they are going to carry the budget on top of your shoulder. Come on. Come on. Christianity requires that you be as wise as serpents. We will not go out to attack anybody, to plunder anybody, to cheat anybody, to take from anybody. But it will be unwise for you to allow yourself that you don't go out trying to hurt people, that you allow somebody to come in and hurt you. Come on. Like, on a serious note, these things, you can see them from a mile away. You have to rethink your strategy. You have to be very deliberate. If you have to change the circle of people you work with, you notice. I notice at the point that I'm surrounded by people that are always gimme, 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 including a lot of pastors. Every month, I can open a WhatsApp chat and you will see that from my first communication with this person till yesterday, it is always greetings by the name of God. My car engine has not, I need to buy half engine. Another one, I'm owing somebody 400,000. Another one. And at the beginning, I would give. But at the point, I realized that this guy basically is going from calamity to calamity. And he so much believed that every time he runs into trouble, I am the one that God has sent to help him. And I said, this is not wise. So I stopped. It is not wickedness. It is how I must behave. It is how I must behave. You must not be the one that is constantly in crisis as a born-again Christian. But you must not also allow somebody that is constantly in crisis to take away all the things that are supposed to use to build for your future, to take care of your family, to persuade wealth out of you. That is not how to be a Christian. I wrote something jokingly 2 days ago. I wrote it deliberately. I was just in my wife also. We were talking. I have a friend. Whenever this friend is in crisis, she does not like touching her money. She will say, people in my contact list are my resources. So she will have thousands of dollars, she will have thousands of naira, hundreds of thousands of naira. Let her get into trouble. She will pick her phone. She'll begin to call all her contacts. She'll say, please, please, I need 500,000. She will say, if she will call 20 or 30 of them or 10, money must drop. And from the day she said it to my earring, ladies and gentlemen, every time she calls me to say, but I'm going, God, please, I'm in trouble. I'm sick. I will say, go to the hospital. When she gets to the hospital, She would then call me from the office. She did it one time when she was in Jos. She did it again when she was in Lekki. I would say, "Are you in the hospital now?" She would say, "Yes." Pay for the treatment, please. I don't have money I can spend now. Me too. I don't have. How can you be the one that is sick and you cannot spend your money for yourself? So 2 days ago, I was telling my wife, I said, this girl has called, dude. I'm sick. I'm in Lekki. I said, okay. Now she got to the hospital. Oh, she recommend the hospital. I recommended the hospital. So she went there. When she got there, they said, this is how much to take to admit you. Then she sent me a call. And they said, this is how much to take to admit you. I said, they pay now. She said, I don't have the money. I said, I don't have the money too. She said, that means I have to leave. I said, be going. Guess what? Then I called her the following day. How are you now? Are you better? She said, I'm still at the hospital. I paid for the admission. You see now, she had the money. But she's going to put her hand in somebody else's pocket because she doesn't want to spend her own money. Why should I be your victim? I don't have responsibilities. Be sober. Be vigilant. We have spent the whole month preparing, like meditating, so that when we begin the race for this year, you see everybody's happening, everybody's happening. But I'm not, I said, everybody, we are meeting at the end of February. We are going to start, we are starting the year this year. We are starting the race properly in March. We will then outrun those who started it in January. I can guarantee. I mean it with all my heart. Hear me. If you are doing billions of business now, you have these are fringes. You are going to come into the fullness of it after the workers retreat. It is the word of the Lord to me. We'll do that workers retreat, and then we enter into March, and then we run. Prepared. Prepared. 2 months for preparation. First month, meditation. Second month, prayer throughout. Then we get to March, and then we begin to dispense verities. And we will bring in the sheaves. That is the word of the Lord to me. I am living in it. You are living in it. Be persuaded by the instructions of God that this is how the year will be. It will be fast, it will be fruitful. But as you begin to gather the sheaves, be wise. Boaz did not give Ruth all the things he had on his farm. Bible said he calculated and he gave her several sheaves. He didn't say, take my whole farm. I mean, was I not read in the book of Ruth? He didn't say, oh, Ruth, you are a fine girl. Oh, yeah, I give you half of my field. He gave her of the profit of the harvest. That's what you're starving for. I know you've heard me. As we pray this month, pray diligently. If you need data, reach out to Sister Zeno. We will supply those who don't have data so that they will be on the call. Pray, put it on a laptop, sleep in it, sleep in the prayer, wake up in the prayer. Except when you are at work or you are too busy. Even at work, plug it in. Be in this atmosphere. There is impartation in it. It will change your story. It will change your life. It will heal you in your body. It will change your perspective. It will shake away the dross and it will bring you into the fullness of God. Don't forget, stay in this atmosphere. Meno, abide, stay. And the hand of the Lord will be upon you. I love you with all my heart. I know some of the things I said are harsh and hard, but I know you love me. And you expect me to say things like that because you love me. If you are blessed and if you still love me, unmute the microphone and shout, Glory!
Glory, glory,
Glory!
glory,
glory to God. We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more episodes. You can also visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com for more inspirational content and teachings. God bless you.